Translation. The citizens of Dvaraka, having heard that sound which threatens fear personified in the material world, began to run towards him fast, just to have a long-desired audience with the Lord, who is a protector of all devotees. Purport. As already explained, the citizens of Dvaraka, who lived at the time of Lord Krishna's presence, they were all liberated souls who descended there along with the Lord as entourage. All were very anxious to have an audience with the Lord, although because of spiritual contact, they were never separated from the Lord. Just as the gopis at Vrindavan used to think of Krishna while he was away from the village for cow herding engagements. The citizens of Dvaraka were all immersed in the thoughts of the Lord while he was away from Dvaraka to attend the battle of Kurukshetra. Some distinguished fiction writer in Bengal concluded that the Krishna of Vrindavan and Krishna of Mathura and that of Dvaraka were different personalities. Historically, there is no truth in this conclusion. The Krishna of Kurukshetra and the Krishna of Dvaraka are one and the same personality. The citizens of Dvaraka were thus in a state of melancholy due to the Lord's absence from the transcendental city, as much as we are put into a state of melancholy at night because of the absence of the sun. The sound heralded by Lord Krishna was something like the heralding this. I don't know how you pronounce this anyway. How you pronounce this? Heralding. Of the sunrise in the morning. So all the citizens of Dvaraka awoke from state of slumber because of sunrise of Krishna, and they all hastened towards him just to have an audience. The devotees of the Lord know no one else as protector. The sound of the Lord is identical with the Lord, as we have tried to explain by the non-dual position of the Lord. The material existence of our present status is full of fear. Out of the four problems of material existence, namely the food problem, the shelter problem, the fear problem, and the mating problem, the fear problem gives us more trouble than others. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord, known as Maya or external energy. Yet, all fear is vanished as soon as there is sound of the Lord, represented by his holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I forgot that one. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay. Now we're going to discuss a little bit, chant together the wonderful topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if I mess, then this is also good because it's for my purification. Because in this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. Even little advancement on this path can protect from greatest type of fear. This is our topic today, which is obvious besides small. There's many good points there, but I choose this one. Fearing. Srila Prabhupada said that out of all problems in our life, that fear problem gives us more trouble than others. So, as he said, Prabhupada said that fear problem gives us more trouble than others. We are always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. So this kind of it gives you indication where is our fearfulness coming from. Is fear of unknown. So it's fear of unknown. One point is that fear is in the mind only. So this kind of mental concoction. We have some understanding of something, but then half of the truth or less, we don't know. And then mind concocts things. Concocting because you don't know. And usually mind, nature of the mind is that it puts together worst possible outcome. And then there's a fear, which is paralyzing. So nobody likes to be afraid. But mind works in such a way, always pulls negativity. So there's a concoction in the mind. Just before continue, for how long we continue today? Because we started late, 1:45? Okay. And Srila Prabhupada said that yet Jashi Shirada Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshmananam Jashi Gornitai. Yet all fear is vanished as soon as there is sound of the Lord represented by His holy name. Prabhupada Gano gives hint at the end. So fear all goes away when you chant. All fear goes away. Are you chanting 16 rounds or more or anyone? Probably everybody, yeah. Yeah. So, are you fearful of anything? Anyone who is not afraid of anything? Is anyone? At least one. You all chant. Oh, Srinivas, I could expect that. You're ready for sannyas. Fearfulness is a main quality of sannyas. He's not afraid of anything. So, sometimes thinking there's only one thing I'm not afraid of is, unfortunately, Vaishnava Parad. I do it all the time. So, anyone want to share his worst fears? One or two? You don't need to, anyone. You have fear of sharks, fear of spiders, fear of loneliness, fear of some brahmacharis are afraid of getting married. Some ladies of not getting married. But these are all serious fears. Anyone wants to share? One, two, no worry. Oh, disabled. Oh, yeah, the serious one. I passed through that in my life a few times. But I'm still walking. Okay. Old age. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Somehow I'm looking forward to that. You know, I don't kind of. Maybe I kind of. Weirdo. I'm maybe weirdo. I don't know. Anyway. Now, very interesting thing. In 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, just at the beginning, there are many qualities listed. And interesting that fearlessness is a first quality which is transcendental. Prabhupada said, exactly, he said, symptom of a godly man endowed with divine nature. Fearlessness is the first thing of divine. And there are many others in hierarchy. So he said, this means that anyone else who is not in this category of godly man is fearful, which is more or less everybody. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. Is the first quality. In 11th canto also, he said that fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets, and again, forgetfulness, of our real identity, forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. I mean, you turn away, one, and then you forget, and then fear arises. These three constituents there. And the fourth canto is part of those, is that by practicing bhakti yoga, one becomes fearless and joyful. Anyone who's not afraid, Srinivas maybe is joyful. Unless one becomes fearless and joyful, he cannot understand the science of God. So we are so full of fears. But without fearlessness, you cannot understand the sons of God. So one thing now, which thinking, that's something later. So now, if all problems of fear is just regarding the body identification, then we can say that if I transcend the bodily identification, I will attain stage of fearlessness. Can you say that? Because fear is coming from bodily identification. It's a Brahma Buddha stage. Nashochachina, Kankratina, lamentation of fearfulness. But it's not, because in this 11th canto, this Buddha described that if you don't take shelter of the Lord, we cannot be free. So there are different transcendentalists. For different transcendentalists, there is a different understanding what Brahma Buddha is. So, for example, you can really elevate yourself in that stage but without taking shelter of the Lord. But this is like a vacuum state. You are there and it needs great endeavor to stay in this position. Once somebody showed me a video, one kind of sadhu in India is apparently Brahma Buddha realized. And you see his eyes are very glowing eyes. And only when he gazes, just gazes straight, no up, no down, just straight. And he's kind of naked, just in loincloth. Whatever they bring him is the same, no expression in the face. Just, you see, like his endeavor, you know, heat, cold, you know, he's there. And you can see that he experiences some kind of bliss. But this, you know, this position, you are in vacuum, nowhere. So for us to take shelter of the Lord, that's it. Then you are safe. No, this is all temporary, as a good platform maybe, but also Prabhupada said those often who are Brahman realized come down to material platform. So this is a very difficult stage. So key point is, of course, take shelter of Krishna. So just summarize quick all this above. Problem number one is fear. Comes from misidentification with the body. You have to rise above. And for us, of course, to take shelter of the Lord. These three things. You can conquer fear. So how to conquer fear? By some other ways. By facing. Somebody conquers fear by facing the special rasa in facing the fear. For example, the kshatriyas. It's not that they are not afraid, but they relish this fear. Probably all of us have this experience. You are afraid of something, you know, but you can't decide to face it, and there is some rasa in it, either to great gain when you risk, or just, anyway, there's entertainment, go on a roller coaster or something. You give special rasa. But this is kind of different type of fear. Interesting thing that you experience probably that in that moment you kind of transcend the mind. You don't listen to the mind. He tells you it's horrible, outcome is horrible, you're going to lose your life or something. But you just go through, you ignore the mind, you see. You can conquer the mind in those moments. If it's gain, very big, very great, you see. But if you listen, the mind makes you terrible. It kind of horrifies you, paralyzes you, puts you down. Like sitting here giving class to everybody. Some people are just freak out. They cannot do it. But just you know, public speaking is fear number one among all this. Anyway. But it's kind of, you know, I like it anyway. Interesting human nature that even there is so many good qualities in something, mind always picks up something, and makes all scenario to put negativity over it. Just because this is kunta, this world is kunta, just always some negativity involves the mind. Interesting thing. Like, you know, like internet, sometimes there is good information about something, some product which is very beneficial, but there is always some kind of debunkers who put everything in a trash. And the people accept that mostly, not the positive. So it kind of tend to be negative in this material world. Anyway, this is a side point only. So how to conquer the mind again? we discuss some things, but we have also some ideas in our mind. But it's not like a, you know, like a, you know, you have a weapon, like a weapon. You go into combat with the mind. You throw one shloka, mind throws another shloka, you know. Like, this just physically, you know, it's not kind of way to conquer the mind. You know, you throw one idea, it throws another idea. So this kind of way is very troublesome. It'll never work. Because first thing we acquire when we come to this material world is the mind. So you know that the mind plays the role of the soul in this material world. It kind of represents us in all situations. So if you decide to skip that, it's okay. If you decide to skip that, then you know that means mind doesn't play any more role. So you make every way to keep you here. So he's a boss. See, that's the thing. Point that as soon as we engage in dialogue with the mind, we are already loser. You know that already. Example, like in the morning, you're tired, and then as soon as you engage in discussion with the mind, you know already. You'll stay in the bed because you are tired, you are no way. But if you decide, finish now, stop, you jump out, immediately that moment mind is conquered. So I just give you a glimpse that it's possible to conquer the mind. If you just don't engage in the dialogue with it, you know what is right, and you do it. And now, to do what is right, you require intelligence. Intelligence. Because in normal hierarchy of the things, intelligence is above the mind. But in conditioned state, intelligence is subordinate to the mind. And what means intelligence? One glimpse. What means intelligence? One idea. What is intelligence? What means to act intelligently? Yeah, exactly, Shastra. That means we have our own ideas, but you just move away. It's just mental speculation. You take a guidance of Sadhu Shastra Guru. That means intelligence. So that's a very important thing. Yeah, otherwise mind is just like, you cannot be free. You're always arrested by the mind because it's best demotivation speaker. You'll take your motivation away. It's best. So that's what you have to kind of just ignore. Do it what is right. But you have to know what is right. That means you need Shastra, Sadhu, Guru. So that's how we do. And Prabhupada said, why one is considered less intelligent? He said, because he didn't study Shastra from the proper source, Parampara. Therefore, he's less intelligent. Because he didn't study Shastra under proper guidance and the proper Parampara. In conditioned state, soul is forced to follow material intelligence. Or we could say the mind. Material intelligence simply means mind. That's all. This is from fourth canto. In Puranjana story or something. He says, intelligent person can receive instructions by which he can slacken attachment for matter. Mind can only feel experiences in which he is put through. He cannot change situation in his own. But mind is just freaking out. He cannot change situation. But intelligence can. Intelligence can find solution and change circumstances. That's how it goes. I also said that doubting in the words of authority is the cause of destruction. So again, if you doubt in this instruction of Sadhu Shastra Guru, you are under the mind, does it cause it destruction? So sankalpa vikalpa, you reject something, that's sankalpa vikalpa, action on the mind. So why I'm quoting this is that, again, injunction of Shastra, Sadhu and Guru, that's how you conquer ignorance of the mind. Again, to summarize this also, to surpass the mind, one needs to come to a level of intelligence. This means accepting the injunctions of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, not follow whims and sentiments of the mind. So, mind is, to conquer that fear, mind is on the way. Therefore, I'm speaking about the mind. Because to conquer the fear, my mind is on the way. So you have to know how to deal with the mind. So that's some tips. Back to fear. Do you notice that it's very interesting phenomenon, but we are afraid even of Krishna. That's a kind of very deep fear. I was meditating on that. That what if Krishna really comes when I'm chanting? I really deeply kind of absorb and Krishna comes and asks me, okay, let's go. Are you ready to give up all your attachments, all your fears, anxieties, unfinished plans, your aspirations, everything? Let's go. If you go deep inside, I don't know what your answer is. I remember once Bhaktivedanta Goswami, he was giving example. One devotee was sitting and really chanting so intensely, praying Krishna, praying. And then, I don't know, have he seen Krishna or heard, but what's clear, heard or seen, but there. And Krishna came and he asked him exactly this. Are you ready to give up this, that? And said, with all my honesty, I just say, no, Krishna, I'm not ready. And he said, even to, until this day, I'm crying. What a fool I was, regretting. So that's interesting. We are aware of Krishna even. You know. So I'm trying to find solution for this, to tackle where is the rabbit, in which bush is a rabbit to tackle. But Prabhupada said on the end of this purport that all fear is vanished soon as there is sound of the Lord, represented by His holy name, as it was sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can take advantage of these sounds and be free from all threatening problems of material existence. So why this method of chanting seems to me doesn't work for us? We have been chanting for years and years and years. See, what could be the reason? Is it lacking conviction? Conviction in sankalpa vikalpa. Again, is the mind on the way. Not sure. Interesting thing. I read one quote here from my small notebook, 210. Prabhupada talking about neophytes in Krishna consciousness. I forgot where I took notes from, but it's somewhere Bhagavatam or something. He said, the preliminary devotees have no taste for chanting because of bitter contamination of ignorance. So bitter contamination of ignorance. We cannot chant purely. But by constantly chanting and counting rounds on the Tulasi beads, they attain continuous stage where respect for the name grows. It means mind resists, is dry, we just carry on, continue. And then by continuous stage, respect for the name grows. During preliminary stage, one must eagerly strive to chant offenselessly. That's a crucial point. Try to come on the offenseless stage. This is absolutely necessary. And offensive chanting can only be obtained by avoiding bad association and taking instruction from the pure devotees. Again, we come into Sadhu Shastra Guru. I'd say this again. Offenseless chanting only can be obtained by avoiding bad association and taking instructions from the pure devotees. When the preliminary stage is passed, taste for name increases, and also compassion for the living entities. While fondly chanting holy name, while contemplating this true meaning, and Krishna, with tears in one's eyes, gradually one's chanting will advance. If this method is not followed, it will take many, many lifetimes to reach perfection, as on the path of jnana and karma. This is interesting. If this method is not followed, that means mind resists, you just chant and try to chant offenselessly and carry on. And then that's a process. Otherwise, Bahujanmakoti. That's the kind of quote which I meditate on very often. Okay, carry on here. So only this kind of chanting will free us from all kinds of anxiety. That means we have to pray for Shuddhanam. That's actually only thing which you have to pray. I just realized lately, like, I don't know, last few months, like something changing in me very deeply, very on deep level. Just meditating that very thing. We should pray only for pure holy name and nothing else. It contains everything else. So what is Shuddhanam? Just to throw some things. What means pure chanting? Because I need also understanding deeper. What means pure chanting? Anyone? I don't know. I'm just asking you because I don't know. I mean, I have some ideas. What means pure chanting? You ask the Lord, please grant me Shuddhanam, pure name. What does it mean? Yeah. Great. Anyone? Come on, help us. We all need. We're desperate. Yes. Yeah. We want Krishna. Yeah. That's a wonderful one. Another. Sincerity. Yeah. Includes so many things. You can take Shastik, this Anukulena Krishna Anushna Bhakti Tama, free from desire for knowledge, for gain, karma, for jnana. I mean, many things. That's the kind of, so we have to have this understanding when we pray. If we pray, we chant for pure, holy name, with this understanding. We have to encourage ourselves to pray. See, as I said, this is the only thing we need. You probably have experience of that at least sometime when you chant really endeavor and then suddenly just mind is so insignificant, like a speck of dust somewhere down, you know, so it doesn't bother you anymore. You know, it doesn't bother you. So you have some glimpse of it, what means pure chanting. This is our process, main process. In 10th Canto Prabhupada said that in this world there are three kinds of men. Those who are liberated, those trying to be liberated, and those entangled in sense enjoyment. Of these three, those who are already liberated chant and hear the holy name of the Lord, knowing perfectly that to glorify the Lord is the only way to keep oneself in a transcendental position. So, for us, constant chanting, that's what keeps us, not just kind of vacuum state like some other jnani, yogi, whatever. It's very difficult for us, that's to maintain. Those who are trying to be liberated, that's mostly us, is the second class. May I regard the chanting and hearing on the Lord's holy name as a process of liberation. So this is for us. We know that that's a process for liberation. I'm not talking about moksha or something, but the paradox is, as I wrote here, I don't chant Shuddhanam. As Krishna may come. What if Krishna comes prematurely and I have my prayers, I have my needs, I have my plans in life, I have whatever. And he comes prematurely and then he may spoil everything. This is serious, really. You think of it, it's serious. You have your ideas, but when Krishna comes, you think in his hurry, we know this, but hurry means. Hurry means one who takes everything. So, you know, okay, Krishna, nice, but, you know, there's a line and don't come nearer, you know. If you chant good rounds, inviting Krishna is like a binocular beats, you know. Yeah, Krishna, I see you, you're okay. But just stay there for now. Don't come cross the line because he may do turmoil in your life, he may. See? Because, you know, if he comes, he can make me even more miserable. He take everything, which I already have. So he could do that. See? Point is, how much of Krishna I want in my life, that's all. Is it 2%, 5%, 10%? Yayata mam prapadyante. You reciprocate. Why you should interfere, break, you know, move the boulder from your mind. Okay, I'm here. He's not gonna force. You have to want it, it'll come. So that's the thing. Like 2-3%. This is like somebody gives you very nice sweet cake, whatever. Beautiful. But it's not sweet enough or not sweet at all. You may eat one piece, but definitely you'll not take second. So that's a kind of 2-3%, 5%, 10%, you know. That's this kind of life becomes tedious, dry, superficial. And sometime, the other day I was listening to class from somebody, I remember, Urmila or somebody. But sometime there was the accept that as a Krishna consciousness. This very dry, tedious, you know, that's Krishna consciousness. At this moment we cannot attain higher anything, so just carry on with hope that, you know, we'll be more blissful in the future. Like what Mother Devaki said the other day, we are kind of like Haribol movement. Like, you know, Haribol, Haribol, how are you? I'm fine. Haribol, how are you? Haribol, I'm fine. See you later. You know, are you okay? I'm okay. I'm okay. And why just okay? Like, why just okay? Why? We could get so much more, not just okay. So this is because of 2-3% surrendering. Like half-hearted, I wrote on something, like sometimes I write things, I write too much actually. Like half-hearted, if you give just 50% of your heart to anything, it'll be just like mediocre. It's like lukewarm, like Jesus said. He said, I know that you are not cold, neither hot. I wish that you, either one of them, but since you are like lukewarm water, I spit you out from my mouth. This is worst position, medium. But if you go give even 1% of your heart more to Krishna, then this attracts his attention. And then he works for you. And it comes more, comes deeper, comes into your life. So this praying for pure holy name, this is exactly what means. You invite in Krishna more than just half in your life. You all know some devotees who are very strong in Krishna consciousness because they don't have many aims in life. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Like maybe as guru, maybe whatever. But very strong, and it creates such an energy that they're determined, they don't want anything else. His life is not run by passion. If you have complicated life, no way of sadhana. If you complicate your life, no way of sadhana. You know, you need more of passion to run your complicated life. So, that means base, you know, so, in anything, it cannot be peaceful. And praying for Shuddhanama is not that we'll take something away, see. Like Lord Hari means want to take everything. He doesn't. You're just afraid that he'll ruin your life. That's why we do chanting, but there's anxiety. In Bhagavad Gita is that verse. Those who always worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have, and I carry what they like. Is Lord Hari one who preserves? Yeah, it is, but our idea is Lord Hari is one who takes away. See, Krishna says to all of us, I don't know, do we believe in that? So how could, to come to this level of faith that Krishna will provide everything? It requires love. Anyone has some, how to come to this state, which really, really chant and invite Krishna and pray for pure holy name. How to come to that state? What it requires? I don't know, I wrote this, like love, how to develop that love, attraction for Krishna. Means to conquer that resistance of the mind, you know. Yeah, you need deep meditation, inviting Krishna pray for pure holy name. Even if you are not ready, at least during japa, focus very intensely. And then I noticed lately my life really changing. I don't know what's happening, but something is just, you know. Before, when somebody asked me, "How are you?" I would just turn my head away. But lately, you know, I just cannot say, I cannot say even okay. I really try to pray for pure holy name. And I see this as a main formula. I was doing many things during the 20 or so years, but this one is just changing something inside. I don't know what it is. So I know that it works. You try for a few weeks, try for months, really intensely, and you expect transformation. Krishna will start to transform your life, I guarantee you. You try. If it doesn't work, I will give you whatever I have. I have a few pounds saving for India. I have, I have one laptop which drives me crazy, and I have old iPod which I'm taking all notes. It may die any moment because it's over 10 years old. I have a locker full of junk which you don't need. I give you all this. If it doesn't work, it works. This glimpse of faith in me just grows, grows. And at 16 rounds, good rounds even is not enough. You find yourself, it's just not enough. For me, it's like reheating up prasadam. You're in haste, you're hearing some cold prasadam, kind of heat a little bit only. And that's 16 rounds. 16 good rounds, that's kind of like not warm prasadam. Like, you just kind of get some gist of it, that's it. So endeavor to do a little bit more. When you increase quantity and try for quality, it happens. It happens. Hare Krishna. Maybe we are over time or not, but somebody can throw some things, some thoughts. Anyone? A realization or something?